I remember sitting in our backyard with friends when I was probably 28, so 12 years ago. And Rob was talking through what the numbers would have to look like in order for him to retire by the age of 35. And at that point, I think he was 31 or 32. And I remember thinking, this is a fun thought exercise, but like nobody does this. Surely he's not really trying to retire, quote unquote, by age 35. But in retrospect, that was really not the best way to think about Rob, because those of you who know Rob or have spent much time listening to Startups for the Rest of Us or any body of his work know that when it comes to strategizing and executing, the man is on point. So he wasn't really joking around. He was really trying to work the numbers to see what it would mean to be able to retire and be financially independent earlier than is typical for most American adults. Fast forward a couple of years after that, and I have a simple note document that was started in 2015. And May 12th, 2015, we were on a road trip and we were writing down just big picture ideas. And we said, by May of 2020, Rob will sell Drip for X million dollars. We will have rented a beach house. We will have written a book, and we will take twice yearly international trips or month-long trips. And that by May of 2020, Rob wrote that he wanted to be advising in angel investing rather than running his own company. So it's now almost May of 2018. And on each one of those counts, it's done. We're 2 years early on everything. So that's what you get for being an overachiever. Today's episode is about the end of Rob's time at Drip. And it's kind of a bittersweet episode because it's been such an incredible few years for us, for our family, for him, for the Drip team. And we are so grateful for those of you who have supported the product and been part of the Drip experience. And we feel really good that Drip is in good hands and that the company is with people who care about it and have a vision for how it can grow and be healthy. And Rob's reached the conclusion that his time there is complete, that he's, you know, sort of launched the baby, grew the baby, and then is ready to send the baby off to college. And so last week was Rob's last official day at Drip. And of course, he'll still be involved in advising and helping, and he'll always be the founder. But he is, I guess, officially retired. It's a little bit later than 35, but he made it before 45. So that's pretty cool. So this is very much Rob's accomplishment and Rob's day. But as his significant other, I am super, super proud of him for making something cool and for putting in the work to see it through. And for also having the wisdom to know when it's okay to do something else. It's okay to let the kid launch. So congratulations to Rob. Congratulations to Drip. And I'm excited to see what happens next.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Walling.
We know this moment is not traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
So we've been sitting on some pretty big news, news that isn't necessarily widely known, but news that is really significant to us. And that is that you have left Drip.
Yeah, that's right. As of a few weeks ago.
Did you think this day would come?
Oh, I knew it would come. I just didn't know when. You know, it's like there's this expression in the book Finish Big, which is about selling your business, exiting your business. And he says, everyone exits their business, whether it's feet first or otherwise. And so, I knew, especially once we started talking about acquisition, that I would only run it for so long. You know, there's only room for the founder for so long in situations like that.
How does it feel to be transitioning like this? To, you know, Derek has obviously departed Drip and now you're leaving Drip, and it's like the life that you've been living for the past 3 or 4 years is shifting tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trip. I mean, we broke ground on Drip more than 5 years ago. It's like 5.5 years. And when you start something like that, you don't think how you're going to leave it. You know, I certainly wasn't thinking at that point, even early on when we built it, I wasn't thinking, oh, one day we're going to sell it. I mean, I had no intention of selling it in the early days, and then things just evolve and happen the way they do. There was obviously a big transition when we were acquired, which is about 2 years ago. And, you know, so it wasn't just like this bootstrap company that I've been running for 5.5 years. I mean, there was definitely a vibe of merging from a 8-person company and merging into this larger 150-person org. And instead of being the CEO, I became the vice president, a VP of product. And that was a big shift for me. And frankly, the transition into working for someone else was really hard, even though Lead Pages and Clay and the team here did everything they could to make that easy. There are certain people like myself, I think, who are unemployable. And I told Clay during negotiations, I said, I'm going to be the worst employee you ever had, not on purpose, but I'm going to be the guy who's frankly really good at what he does and is really committed and cares just a little too much about everything. And I'm not going to, you know, work standard 9-to-5. And I'm not, you know, there's all these things that I do well in our strengths of mine, but they don't necessarily conform. Right. And in a 150-person org, you often need the kind of conforming mindset or a team mindset and I've always had a team mindset that when I'm running the team. But as soon as there's like an authority above me, I've always struggled with that and really kind of rebelled against it. So, which is one reason that I start my own companies. So that was a long and windy answer, but it's just a thought process. There's a lot there, you know?
Yeah. And you were really worried about the experience of working for someone else. As we even began to think about the possibility of an acquisition, you were really reticent to do an earnout at all. You were reticent to sell Drip in a way that you had to go with it. But ultimately, of course, you believe that was the best path for Drip and Drip's customers, and certainly the team that you'd built around Drip. And you wanted to make sure that all of those pieces were healthy and in place before you departed.
Big time. Yep. That was one of the big reasons, yeah.
Does it feel complete now?
I think so. I mean, it's always hard. It's like I don't know that I think of businesses as being complete or not. You know, they're just things that come in and out of my life. I mean, I've owned so many websites and software products and small startups and now bigger ones, and it's complete. The story of it is complete for me. I don't feel like I have any business that's hasn't been done or that's left undone.
Yeah, that's the question. Obviously, Drip is continuing on and is in good hands. But like, do you feel complete? You feel like you've accomplished what you set out to accomplish with Drip?
I do. I do, in a way that, like, I've talked about this a little bit with Derek and with you and I guess a few other people. But at a certain point, and I think it's different for everyone, like certain people have a very long attention span for these kinds of things, and they can just work on the same company for 20 or 30 years or work on the same project or work in the same role. And for me, that tends to be very short, right? It tends to be that 18 to 24 months where I kind of lose steam and I lose interest. Now, Drip has been 5.5 years, and I do feel like my best ideas were in the first 4 years. And like, I started losing, it's not losing commitment. Like, it's not a choice. It's a genuine like switch that flips. And I don't know, maybe the first 4 years is too tight because we actually did some really cool stuff last year. But the idea is that I have definitely felt my creativity and problem solving in this realm and around the product has started to wane. And that was one of the reasons that I knew it was a warning sign for me of like, if I'm not doing my best work, and I could go do my best work in some other realm, whether that means writing a book or whether it means, you know, running a conference or doing podcasts or just something entirely different. And I'm energized to do that and I'm going to create and do amazing things or things that are really interesting to me. that just serves me better, you know, and it serves the world better, I think, for me to be putting interesting things into the world rather than kind of starting to churn away or starting to not, again, not have my best ideas and my most creativity coming out in this world of marketing automation and email service providers and that kind of stuff. It's like at a certain point you get fatigued thinking about the same problems over and over, I think, is the end result.
Right. There's just limited new novel thought processes that you can have when you're sort of hashing away at the same problems over and over.
That's right. And I bet if I took months off, you know, if I took a 3-month retreat or a 6-month kind of sabbatical, I guess they call it, I bet I would come back fresh. I don't know if I would really want to dive back into this world in particular, because I'm just interested in new and different challenges. But I do feel like that's, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at next, is just taking several months and not doing anything, you know, not trying to start anything new.
Are you feeling self-reflective and nostalgic yet? I mean, are you able to look back and think, hey, here's what I'm really proud of?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been that way for, you know, because I've been thinking about this for, I mean, on and off. This is something you think about for a long time, right? It's not something, I'm not impulsive. So on my mind for 6 months at least, just kind of wondering, when is that time? Is it going to be the end of the year? Is it going to be, you know, at what point is this going to happen? And so I've had a lot of time to think about and reflect.
What are your top moments?
I think there was definitely some revenue milestones that I was really proud of that were like huge goals. Making Drip the biggest app I had ever run, you know, I'd ever created. There was hitting 500,000 in annual run rate. There was hitting 1 million. There was hitting 6 figures per month. You know, there were all these early milestones that were just kind of magical. I also have memories of being in the office in Fresno with the early team when there were 4 or 5 of us, and just the feeling, the camaraderie, the lunches. Every Thursday we did a staff meeting, and it was just us hanging out talking about stuff, and we were all really committed to the vision. That was my memory of, I think those are some of the, probably the best times. I think I'm really proud that we built something, in essence, we're the 12th, but by the time we got acquired, it was like 5 people in a closet in Fresno and with no funding really. And we were the 12th largest marketing automation provider by market share in the world, according to Dayton Eyes. And that was pretty cool.
That's something to be proud of.
It's a big deal. And all the 11 ahead of us had raised 30 million and up. I mean, there were some that had raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And it was just this, when I look back at that, I think, how the hell did we do that? And, you know, we showed up every day. Like, we all came and were committed to doing this, and we did our jobs, and we shipped a lot of features, and we did a lot of demos, and we just put one foot in front of the other and just executed. And we caught a wave. You know, there's some luck to it, right? It's like marketing automation was taking off, and we kind of jumped on that. And so it's not all skill and it's not all anything. It's this combination of this like committed team and being super scrappy because we didn't have budget for anything. And yeah, just executing. So I really am proud of what the team built, honestly.
Any like pain points that you're ready to leave behind?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know, when you build an app like this and you're sending email is such a pain in the ass. Like, you get on blacklists and there's spammers and phishing people try to infiltrate your app. And so there's this constant back and forth and back and forth. And I hate that. Like, I'm so done with it. Just thinking about how to outwit spammers is something I keep telling Derek, if I ever build an app, it's not going to send email ever. The password reset's going to be SMS is my joke. Like, I don't want to deal with freaking email ever again. You know, it's just, it's hard. I mean, it's a hard space to be in. It's also super competitive. I don't think I want to, you know, again, I don't expect that I'm going to launch another app ever in my life, but if I were to hypothetically do so, I want to be in this is such a feature race. Like, it's such a competitive space and it's hard to differentiate. And I just have no desire to run that race anymore. It is fatiguing. And again, if I was 10 or 15 years younger, or I was only 6 months into the journey, it's an incredibly exciting space to be in, but I just feel tired of it now after 5.5 years. And so I'm looking forward to not having to think in those terms of how are we going to just get 3 months ahead of this other competitor and outmarket them and da da da. And it's like, oh, I've been doing it. I'm tired.
You're getting to be the old guy at the club, huh?
It exactly is that. Yeah.
You've said a couple times that you're not going to do another app. why not? Like,
what is another startup?
Yeah, what is really, really is actually the wife response. Are you sure? Right.
I'm
kind of rolling my eyes at you.
This last one. And you've said that every time, I've told you this, but the first time I ever told you this, it was definitely pre-acquisition, and it might even have been pre-acquisition offers, period. Like it.
Yeah. You've said for years, this is your last one.
Yeah. Because it was really, really hard. Like it was harder than I thought it would be. And it took more of a toll on me and on you and on our family than I'm willing to go through again. I definitely have some kind of latent trauma from the experience. I mean, not to be too dramatic, I'm not trying to be dramatic. Obviously it's people go through much worse, but like some of my hardest memories are of building and growing Drip. And probably a couple of my biggest life regrets came during that time. And I just don't know if I can do it again, you know? Now, maybe if I had to do it again, the stakes would be different this time, right? Because that would, the hard part for me is everything was on the line. Like everything I had built since I was 22, all of the money and all of the apps and all the effort and all the personal brand was all in on Drip. And if Drip had failed, I would have had to start another one from scratch, which I didn't feel like I could, or I would have had to get a job, or I would have been consulting. I would have done whatever. My back is no longer to the wall in that way.
Yeah. If you were to do it again, I think the stakes would be very different.
Right. Because we're already set. And the next time it's like, oh, if it fails, I'm going to be disappointed, but it's not going to be, oh man, 20 years of everything is at stake. Cause I wouldn't put that on the line the next time.
Yeah. What do you think you will do next? You've mentioned taking time off to do nothing.
Yeah. And nothing is, running the microconfs and doing the podcasts and hanging out with you guys and travel.
Rob Walling's version of nothing is like a full-time job for right. other people.
Right. Yeah, I'm very busy.
Just all your other businesses.
I mean, that's the thing. I still like investing a lot, and I'm still thinking about and monitoring that stuff. But all that stuff, I've been doing on the side for years, so it doesn't take that much time. But I mean, I've started working on what may become a book. I'm about 10,000 words in, so books 40,000-50,000 words, depending on the length. And it's really, I'm kind of trying to, in a cathartic way, trying to get the experience out on paper. I thought to myself, like, what's changed with me since my first book, Start Small, Stay Small, which I think was 2010 when I published it. And I kind of look back, and the big milestones were like Hittail and Drip and all that stuff in between. And I was trying to figure out, should I tell it as a story? Should I try to be tactical about it? And I think the way I've done it so far is to just kind of write the narrative in these chunks. And then there's a lot of tactics and a lot of kind of, I'd made a really good call here. I really dropped the ball here. Here's what I did differently. Here's what I would do differently. Here's my recommendation for you. Here's how we did this. So it's almost like this combination, I think, a hybrid book. If it winds up being that, it'll be like kind of a hero's journey type thing. But I actually want to pull out in true microconf / Rob Walling fashion. Like I always want there to be takeaways. I don't just want it to be a narrative. I'm not sure how well it would stand up on its own just as a narrative.
Yeah. You want to reflect on the process of Drip, but also as you're thinking about what you've learned, that is just a very nice lead in to some practical tactics.
That's right. So anyways, I don't know, again, at this point, like I said, 10,000 words, it could just become a blog series later on. If I finish it, maybe I'll put it out as a book. I don't know, but I'm literally doing it right now just to get it all out on paper and to reflect on it. And to try to deal with some of the moments, the intense moments that I haven't really processed and just kind of lived through and then haven't reflected on. So if nothing else, it will be helpful for me to, just think these things through and see how they wind up on paper.
I remember having conversations with a number of founders about the kind of sense of emptiness or loss that they felt after they stepped away from their companies. Do you foresee that for yourself?
I don't.
Why not?
Well, because Drip is not my only company, right? I've had, depending on how you count, I've had dozens of products since 2005. And so my identity has never been tied to any one. Now, my identity has been most tied to Drip of all of them. But I never felt like it represented me or it was something I could never let go. It was always this thing I was very proud of. It's always been a thing. I will be proud of it, forever as the co-founder of Drip. But I don't foresee me having this big feeling of what else am I going to do, or like I'm losing part of me. You know, I think part of that's because I have other things going on. Like I do have this personal brand, my blog and the podcast and all the, you know, the conference and all that. So there is still this whole thing where I have a purpose.
Yeah. You have other things to fill your time and energy right away.
Yeah. I mean, with all that said, you know, I've thought about this a lot. Like I said, I really am a meticulous kind of person who thinks things through, perhaps to a fault. So it's not an impulsive decision to leave. So I've really pondered this a lot and I am saddened by it genuinely. Like it is hard. It is hard to leave. It is hard to know that I won't, it is weird to think about that I won't be part of it. But I think I've kind of absorbed that burden up front and I think it'll be weird for about a week. That's my guess. And then it will be what it is at that point. I think there was a period of loss, you know, when I first sold it, transitioning, giving up the marketing website, starting to integrate my team into the lead pages. I mean, that was a very hard time for me.
The loss has been incremental in a way. You're stepping away slowly.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's been almost 2 years since I haven't owned Drip, since Derek and I haven't owned it, I should say.
What are you most looking forward to about no longer having a day job?
I'm looking forward to the extended periods of quiet and thought. I've become increasingly introverted over the years, and having a day job with meetings and Slack and just not having time to myself, because my best ideas and my best kind of creations and inventions, they come out of hours and hours of silence and thought and consuming of material, whether it's audiobooks or podcasts or books, and then just mulling it. But I need a lot of time to do that. There has to be this time to go deep on things. It's like a deep work, right? Cal Newport's book. It's like, that's what I plan to do. When I listened to Deep Work maybe a year and a half ago, and I was pissed because I was like, that's what I want to do, but I want to do it now. And it's not possible when I'm managing a team of 17 people, you know? And I was like, I mean, there were professors in there. The way I used to operate and used to run my life is very much the way some people in there did, which was like, I'm going to answer email twice a week, because there's nothing urgent enough to pull me away. I'm not going to have Slack installed on any device. I'm not, you know, there's things I'm just going to do that are going to be like, hey, the world is cut off for me right now for the time being. And I just want to immerse myself in thought and creativity, and something's going to come out of that. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's books, and maybe it's startup ideas that I don't do myself, but work with someone. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to, I think, the possibility of what comes next.
You're like rebuying all the real estate in your brain.
Yeah.
You're taking it all back, and who knows what will happen.
Yeah. So I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. I mean, I actually don't mind. I really like the people that I work with, and I really like coming to the office. It's kind of nice. It's downtown. I enjoy having an excuse to come here. The office environment's great. There's free snacks. There's kombucha in the fridge. You know, it's all the, like, none of that bothers me. It's not like, oh man, I'm not going to have that commute, because I drive by two lakes on the way in. It's like this amazing 15-minute drive. So none of that part is a big deal. It really is getting that time back. Like I don't like meetings, and I don't like the stuff that kind of takes away from the creative time.
Well, I'm excited for you and for this next phase in your journey, and as well as in the journey of our family. And, you know, we have kombucha in the fridge at our house too, just, you know, so you know.
I think we're going to have to up our kombucha game though, man. They have like three flavors here, and it's pretty, pretty good.
I'll get on Instacart right now.
Do that. Yeah. Can you also get like trail mix and lunches, every catered lunch every Tuesday?
Yeah, catered lunch is called go microwave a burrito.
Lazy ass.
On Tuesday, I will microwave your burrito for you, and that will be sweet. Catered lunch.
Dude, nothing more I could ask for than Dr. Walling making me a little lunchy lunch.
If you're nice to me, I'll even throw some guacamole on your plate.
Good. Done and done. Yeah, I'm optimistic too. I think this also frees us up. I know we've struggled so much over the past year trying to find childcare, and, you know, with our schedules crossing, like, oh, I have this meeting at 8:30. Can you cover? No, I'm out of town. You know, I'm in a conference, and it's just been this nonstop I feel like struggle for both of us to really maintain schedule, I'm looking forward to having some flexibility there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it, not that I'm going to watch kids 8 hours a day, but like you're going out of town next week, you know, to speak at a conference. And if I only work 5 or 6 hour days, it's going to be totally fine. And work is in quotes because I'm not actually, I'm not going to be working on anything. I'm going to be just kind of doing stuff. So it's, I look forward to getting that freedom back as well.
I guess it feels like we should end this conversation by like raising a glass to Drip.
That's how I feel. Like I have
been a great ride.
It's been amazing.
A lot to be proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am proud. I'm not good at celebrating wins. I'm not good at being proud of myself. I am good at being proud of others, but I am really proud of what we built with Drip. And yeah, I'm just really proud of the team here. I mean, if you're listening to this and you in any way helped or contributed to Drip, like high five, like we built something great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.